Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall day, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
A little better?
Bro, I feel
bad. Oh, that was awesome.
Take care of business.
Get it, bro. Let's go.
Good job, Gronker.
Hey, you too, Tom.
Let's go, baby.
Good job.
Let's go.
Woo.
Let it go, LA.
Let's go, Marcus. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let it go. Nice job.
Yeah.
All right, man, congratulations. Winning today means we won next week. All right?
Yes.
So that's... That's what winning today means. All right, so look, we all know we're going to need to play our best football going forward. All right, we had a good week this week. That's why we, you know, did as well as we did today.
To the brotherhood. How do we feel about the brotherhood?
Oh, yeah!
Good job, Bronco. Good job, Bronker.
Hey, you two times on there.
Sports.
Birdcage. Just go in the birdcage. Like, just... I blame the internet. The internet just gives this platform of people their expressions, and then people just jump on it with them, and then they just ride with it. Go to Mars.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're at the Toucher and Rich radio program.
What's up, Gronker? How are you doing?
Who?
Gronker.
Good job, Gronker.
Hey, yeah. Good job, Gronker.
What's up, Gronker? Hey, thanks, Tommy, the best.
Good job, Gronker.
Hey, you too, Tommy.
Go, baby.
All right, so Donnie from Boston has some questions. 617-779-0985. Donnie, go ahead.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Rich, I'm glad to hear that you're on the radio. I was nervous that maybe you'd be in Recovery Centers of America this morning after your experimentation with the weed drug.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on. Had a little experimentation over the last week and a half, yes.
The reason I'm calling, I have a question for Fred, but I need to explain why I'm asking this, first of all. So I tuned into the Sports Hub at 6:15 yesterday morning, thinking that you guys were coming on. And Amy Lawrence was doing a top 10 New Year's resolutions list. And she kept joking around that she wouldn't mention what number 11 was because she doesn't do it. And it makes her feel uncomfortable to talk about it and this and that. So I went on, I found the list she was reading from. And I guess the number 11 resolution is to cut down on self-pleasuring. So I was wondering, Fred, are you cutting down on self-pleasuring in 2019?
Why would I? That's such a stupid resolution. Like, why would I do that? Like, what possible advantage would that be to me?
Where did this come from?
It was from a website called The Top 10. And her producers kept saying, are you going to mention 11? Are you going to mention 11? And she kept getting all, like, giggly about it.
Well,
it was like, I don't do it. I don't need to talk about it. And so I've just had that image of Amy Lawrence taking care of herself
in my head
for the last 24 hours.
Well, she said she doesn't do it. So.
24 hours? Oh, she did this yesterday.
Yes, so this was yesterday. Okay. And I don't know. I feel like because she got so uncomfortable about it, it just shows she probably does it an awful lot.
Rich doesn't do it.
I try not to.
And why is that again?
Because it makes me more excited for the real thing. That's why.
You said different stuff before about that.
Well, it's part of it. That was part of it.
You said that you thought it was almost in a way cheating.
No, I never said that. No. I mean, it's like, you know, something that, according to my religion, you're not supposed to do, but that's not entirely the reason why. I think it just keeps me more virile and more ready to go when the true time calls.
Okay.
Doesn't make much sense.
I mean, it makes you hornier, John.
I can't speak for anyone else in the room, but I think that's crap.
Makes
that's
you a lot hornier.
But all right.
I don't know about all that. But no, that would be, first of all, I don't do New Year's resolutions, really. And second of all, well, that would be, I have no problem at all with the amount of times I sell pleasure.
So she was on, like, because I know that there was a rotation of people that I've never heard on the station before on the station during our show, not just our show, but like throughout the day. I mean, there was a couple times I tuned in and I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And from what I heard, we were like borrowing from other radio stations, like here in the cluster. There were people who were like producers for other shows that were coming over here and filling in.
Yeah, Rick was scrambling a little.
Well, I mean, you know.
Scrambling a little. Yeah.
Ted Johnson showed up on the radio here. Like, he works for the station now, which is kind of cool.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
All right.
Ted's a great addition.
Well, I like Ted. I mean, I've always liked him. We've had him on, like, we've interviewed him a few times.
I used to work with him at the other place. He's phenomenal.
So did he move from Houston? Because he used to have a show in Houston.
Right.
And the reason I know about that is because we played that. I felt really bad for Ted that one time when somebody asked him about Vince Wilfork and Vince Wilfork's wife, and he said something that I know he didn't intend for it to come out that way, but it was something that upset Vince Wilfork because he believed that he was making fun of his wife and her looks, and boy, Vince came out with that message. Like, he put that thing on Instagram? It was like, nobody talks this way about my wife. And Ted came out the next day and had to apologize, and you just knew that he wasn't trying to go down that road, but it just came out the wrong way. I really legitimately felt bad for Ted Johnson at the time, but that's when he was in Houston, and I think that was only like a couple years ago. So did he move back?
Family something, they said. That's why he moved back.
Oh, okay. All right, so he's back here. All right. Well, that's good. I mean, we should probably try to have him on. He's a good guest.
And by the way, we're on this Twitch. If you want to watch the show, you can get the Twitch app and search out 98.5 The Sports Hub, or you can go to, what is it, twitch.tv or something?
Yeah, twitch.tv, and you can just search The Sports Hub, and we'll be on there for that. And good Nick will be in there chatting with you as well. There's a little chat room while the show is going, and you can do an online as it's going commentary on there. So, and sometimes every once in a while, Nick's dad pops in. And is he on there this morning yet, Nick? Not yet. Okay. Once in a while, he'll be a special guest onto the commentary.
All right, Manny, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year.
Hi.
Guys, I tuned into that segment, the previous call was talking about with Amy Lawrence, and I had no idea what she was talking about, but I really don't pay any attention to her. It was just background noise at that point.
Right.
But hearing that guy say what number 11 was, she is insufferable because who, I mean, I'm my resolution, I'm ramping it up. New Year, right?
Yeah, like
she is insufferable in the morning. I mean, there's nothing worse than listening to her except for, you know, Sag, but even he sounds better right on the radio than she does.
I just don't get why that would be a resolution.
609.
Yeah. It's not a resolution. It's not a resolution. I mean, dude, what else have I got? Be serious. I mean, you know.
Jesus.
I mean, anyway,
it's cold outside. You know, things are miserable.
Who does it harm? I mean, you're not even harming anyone. You're not harming yourself. You're not harming anyone.
Exactly. You guys have a great New Year.
You too, man. Have a good one, man.
Just entering the snow bullseye of the season. That's a good point.
Sometimes, I mean, especially with our schedule, you want to take a nap. I mean, all these things work together. Now, as I get older, the frequency goes down.
The yearning for it?
Yeah. Goes down. Sometimes when I go to take a nap, well, it was used to be probably every time. Now sometimes I have the intention of doing it, and then I get into bed and I'm like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to go to sleep.
Sweet, sweet sleep kind of takes over the precedence of just, you know, doing what you were doing before.
But sometimes it is frustrating because people will be in the house when the desire hits. And then, and then you can't really justify having the bedroom door locked. Because I'm not a bathroom guy.
Oh.
I can't.
Really?
Not a shower guy either.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, as you've discussed many times during this program, things have to be just right. and that you have that mental, not problem, but control that you possess?
Not so much in that. I'm pretty good at it.
So good not for so you.
Yeah, not so much in that area. I've never. Oh, but I have had problems. Yes, I have had problems. Not recently, but there was a time there where it was. I would just give up because I'm not going to sit there for an hour.
Right.
You know, I would just give up. And but that's gone away. Thankfully, that's gone away in the past. Like few months.
Good. The hip game, you don't have to keep it as strong anymore?
No, I was having trouble finishing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just by... I've always had trouble finishing with girls. But with myself, it was always... You know, I'm an expert.
Right.
No one knows me but me.
Right? By the way, speaking of a hip game, did you hear Merriweather got his own radio show?
No.
He did. He has got his own radio show now, and he reached out. He was like, hey, you know, it was like almost like a look what you guys created. So he is like, where is it, like in Apopka or it's somewhere in Florida?
Yeah, and it's on the weekends. He's on Saturdays.
Yeah.
For an hour.
Yeah, he's got the bug now. And to that I say, the hell are you not coming on our show?
Yeah.
If you're into radio, come on the show.
He did our show for about as long as his own show is going
to
be on.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I am going to contact him today. There's no reason he shouldn't come. At least to just promote his weekend show.
Right.
Like, you know, there's people up here love Brandon Merriweather. They love it when he's on. So I would think it would be a valuable 20 minutes he's on the air with us. In order to plug that.
So he reached out to the account?
He did. And he was like, look what y'all did. Ha, ha, ha. Waldick, where you at? Or something like that. Mm. And so I'm going to reach out to him this week. We should get him on at least before the playoffs. I mean, by the end of next week, we should get Brandon.
Well, we can get him on tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
Well, I'll reach out to him. I'll see if we can get him on.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he reached out to us. So he's the one who kind of opened the door. And there's nothing. I mean, we wanted to have him on this season. But he wanted to take some time off. He wanted to concentrate, I guess, on his restaurant, his family, whatever. But now that he's back on the radio, I don't see why there's any reason we wouldn't come on with us.
Yeah. His show is, because I follow him on Instagram, his show is like Saturdays for an hour with this other guy. But that's a mere stepping stone before things get serious.
That it is. The Merriweather and Dixon show.
And Dixon, I guess, played pro football. All right, what do you got coming up? What happened over the break?
Winter Classic didn't suck.
No, it did not.
Nope, not at all.
I had no intention of watching the whole thing, and I watched most of it.
And it was great. Yeah, it was kind of the same way. I was like, I'm over this. And then I was like, this is pretty good.
And then yesterday, based on everyone yelling at me, my family watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And while it was not a bad movie, I laughed once.
That is a top 10 comedy for me.
I laughed once. I still can't stand John
but
Candy.
But you've seen it before, though, right?
I don't. Like, I thought I did, but I didn't remember anything that happened except the car caught on fire. That was the only part I remembered. So, no, I laughed once. But that being said, I mean, it didn't crawl. I mean, it was over in 90 minutes, and it was fine. But, John Candy... Sometimes when you play a super annoying guy, you just come off as super annoying. I don't see the comedy in it.
I thought he was great in that movie. I thought he was great in Uncle Buck.
I thought it was very good. I like both those movies.
I've never gotten through the first 15 minutes of Uncle Buck.
Oh, really? Uncle Buck is great.
Yes.
You know, that was a big hit.
It was a huge hit. It might have been hit. No, it's not his biggest. No, as far as a starring role.
No, Splash has got to be the biggest.
But he wasn't the star. That was Tom Hanks.
No, I know. But he was actually good in Splash. All right. What do we do here? We just take a break. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened?
What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' Go-To's participation may vary. The Bruins put on a show for 70,000 freezing cold drunks.
To the far point, here's Nordstrom hanging high. Rink wide, Grizzlick walks in, shoots toward the safe, rebound, they score! A sally
for the second time in as many games. Sean Corrali jumping up and down, crashes into the far corner boards. He had the backhand in the slot. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 2.
Well, maybe it was the fact that they showed up dressed like the cast of Peaky Blinders. Maybe it was because they won, or maybe it's because of Bruce Cassidy's super cool hat. The Winter Classic ended up being better than I thought it was going to be, as the Bruins win their second out of three outdoor classics. 4-2 was yesterday's score, and it was Sean Corrali right there, who just days after burying the game winner against Buffalo, does it again against the Blackhawks before the ultimate empty net dagger minutes later. But it was, however, Mr. Selke who showed yesterday why he's one of the best two-way players in the league.
Marchand, high slot, Pastrnak, right circle, Krug.
Oh, yeah, open net.
Rink wide, centered, deflected, backhand, they score! Patrice Bergeron sent a backhand that slips inside the near post, and the Boston Bruins have tied the Blackhawks at 2.
Just moments after he prevented a near breakaway goal from Chicago, Patrice Bergeron buries one at the other end to tie things up 2-2. And Bruce, cool hat Cassidy's faith in Tuukka Rask was rewarded as Tuukka cobbled together one hell of a win. He made 35 saves yesterday. Here is Tuukka Rask afterwards.
I was seeing the puck well today. I mean, it's a different preparation for the game, so you just try to go out there, have fun, and seem to work today.
How is the Boston Bruins organization getting it back on track? Because there were times earlier this year where it wasn't going that well.
Well, we've had the injury bug, you know, bothering us for the most part of the season, but guys have battled it out and trying to step up and get some points. I feel like we're almost there. You know, just gotta grind it out. Our division is very tough, so every point matters. And we're in for the dogfight here.
Now, our own producer Dan O'Brien was at the game yesterday, and we'll be back tomorrow. But according to all reports, Notre Dame ran out of food and beer by the first intermission. Know your audience, Notre Dame. What the hell?
Not used to it.
It's true. But, I mean, there were people tweeting, and just like the lines apparently were just utterly ridiculous. And once you got to the front, they said that they had run out of all beer. And I think that they had like pretzels and hot dogs and things they ran out of as well. I mean, 70,000 people, you know what's coming. Hockey fans. Have the beer ready.
But there's no way Notre Dame sells beer at their games.
No, they can't. It's college. I mean, I don't think that they're...
College games, unless you're off-site, you can't... I believe you can't do it anywhere.
But at least if you're going to hold an event
of
that size...
It's not like this game took them by surprise.
Right, do some research.
I know, but it's just like they probably figured, you know, oh, we'll get a couple kegs.
Let's get the party ball.
Yeah, Jesus. Exactly. They probably said, let's get a couple kegs and we'll be okay, which is really smart because... Hey, let's just cost us all this money. Why invest in the beer? Let's just lose money.
Yeah,
all these people trapped in South Bend, Indiana. All they want to do is drink.
Yeah,
sure. Well, also one
that's
more.
A game that you're leaving in the second period.
Oh, it was a good game.
But I mean, once they say that there's no beer,
yeah.
I mean, you sit around, and then you're like, I'm in the cold.
Yeah, go to a bar 2 blocks away.
Right, and watch it on TV. Yeah. I saw what I needed to see. I saw that it was outside.
And by the way, as much as I enjoy seeing the Bruins in the Winter Classic, I don't need to see them for another 15 years. What has it been like? Have they been in three in the last, like, six or seven? Or,
yeah, including the blowout at Gillette Stadium.
And you know what? The Blackhawks should forever not be able to be in the Winter Classic. Yeah. I think they're 0-4.
0-5.
Oh, is it 0-5? They've been in five? Because it's only been around for 12 years, I think.
I think they've been in five. I think Fred's right.
Wow, that's...
Look.
Yeah, well, they
five outdoor games, not five Winter Classics.
Oh, okay. Well, I think in Winter Classics, they're 0-4. But just never need to see them again. And yesterday, as like Fred and I were mentioning before, I was kind of thinking, all right, I'm over this. The Winter Classic has lost a little bit of its appeal. That was about as well as you could do the Winter Classic yesterday. I thought they did a great job. And it was cool, too, because it seemed like, you know, when you're in a stadium like that, the line of sight is a lot better. A lot more people were able to actually see the action, whereas at Fenway, it was just awful.
Fenway's not built for it. It's not centrally. No, you can't centrally locate.
Looked awesome on TV.
It was a complete waste of time to go to the one in Fenway. But even Bergeron said after the game that the crowd's a lot closer.
Yeah, even and at Gillette, it was, you know, so far away. But you're right. It looked like they were right on top of them there. Yeah. And the energy, you could see it on TV. I mean, it was
99% Blackhawks fans. The only time I heard any Bruins support is when they said Tuuk.
Yeah.
So,
did they play that stupid goal song when Chicago scored?
No, they can't do that, can they?
Did they play that dumb goal?
I don't remember them.
Staggerly? What's it called?
No, it's.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, I forgot the name of that stupid song is. But no, I don't remember them playing that.
Okay.
However,
I don't remember that either.
I do remember one of the more interesting moments of the Winter Classic, and that was the pregame interview with the day's musical entertainment, that being Weezer, the old Wiz.
Did they sing in English?
Weezer? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that song was in English that they played in between periods?
They played three songs.
Okay, so one of the songs was, I'm convinced, was not in English.
Well, you know Africa.
Oh, God, they played Africa?
They have to. I mean, that's like, now it's like the, I didn't do it. Boy, I mean, that's their hit.
Oh, that's a shame.
So they play, that's, I think, their biggest hit since, like, Buddy Holly.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, they didn't even want to market that. The radio just started playing it. They didn't even sell it as a single. So they're like, all right, we'll ride this train. You know, at this point, you're like, we haven't had really a hit in,
Captain,
what, 8 years?
I'm going to take some time away and go to Harvard, Captain. I won't play Pinkerton anymore because it's too raw.
He plays Pinkerton now.
I know they do, but they didn't for a decade. So they wouldn't play Pinkerton because it's too raw.
Pinkerton, wildly overrated.
Sure.
The Rick Ocasek albums are the two best ones.
All right, fine. But he wouldn't play that in the, you know, this emotional guy who, you know, all this stuff. And then they go out in Africa as their big hit. A note for note copy of Africa. Boo.
So here is the pregame interview with Rivers Cuomo and bassist, who's just kind of just standing there.
The performance here at one of the most iconic stadiums in the country, Notre Dame. How excited are you guys for this performance?
Pretty excited. Yeah.
How are you going to stay warm on stage? You just had your sound check. Obviously, you're all bundled up.
I don't plan to stay warm. I plan to freeze my butt off.
I guess you don't really have a choice, right? What can fans expect in terms of what songs you guys might be doing today?
In the stadium, you mean? Well, we're going to do Africa. We're going to do our new single, Can't Knock the Hustle, and an old classic, Say It Ain't So, by Weezer.
it's the one by Weezer.
I guess the new one. Because I didn't see Say It Ain't So, and I didn't see Africa. I guess the one
Can't Knock
I
the
saw,
Hustle?
I saw that.
It's about being an Uber driver.
Yeah. That's right.
It is. It truly is. It's about being an Uber driver.
It's about getting your side hustle on.
I'm not kidding you. I've heard the
but
song.
It sounded like it wasn't in English, but I could be wrong.
You know, I don't really remember that, but I do, however, know that also broadcasting for the game yesterday were Felger and Maz. They went all the way out to Notre Dame.
Before
I had no idea they're gonna
do that. The game.
Yeah, throw them in the briar patch.
Yeah, Felger's never seen these people before.
No. Right? But beforehand, they got the now rare opportunity to speak with their old buddy Cam Neely, who they asked about reports of Charlie McAvoy being late to buses and meetings, etc. And here's what Cam had to say about that.
You know, it's come out he's not exactly a timely professional. He misses buses. I mean, Marchand even said it in an interview. Has there been an issue with McAvoy off the ice with that, you know, just that little thing?
Well, I think one of those things where you got a young player that stepped right into the pros, so to speak, from junior hockey, or pardon me, college hockey, has a lot to learn. And we've got a good veteran group that I think are pulling these guys along and making sure they understand what it takes to be a pro. You know, Charlie has some things to learn, you know, he's willing to learn. He's a good kid. He wants to be a really good player in this league, and he's starting to figure out what it takes to be that player.
You know, I was thinking about Charlie McAvoy yesterday. Take away, you know, any kind of hints of him showing up late to things, right? Just take completely away, and let's say he's a model player. Just his injuries alone, that's going to cost him a lot of money. Wasn't there talk, like, maybe, like, the end of last year, the beginning of this year, that he was going to be a guy that was going to get like a 6-year deal and you know, like $7 million or something a year? There's no way a team's going to give him that kind of money with the amount of time he spent off the ice. Don't you agree?
No.
Like, you would think it would be more like he's going to be one of these guys who gets like
problems.
$4 million a year or.
Yeah, you have the concussion problems, you have the attitude, whatever that is.
He's going to get paid like a star defenseman that you can build around. I mean, the Bruins can't take losing him.
So you think he's going to get like the 6 years that he wants and like $7 million a year?
Because
I think that's kind of what was being whispered. I just think with all of the, I mean, how many days off ice has he been in the past 2 years?
I mean, he's also very, very young. Ryan, go ahead.
So I was at the game, and I sat next to the vendor for the beer.
Yeah.
They said they ordered 7,000 cases.
7,000, okay, cases? That sounds like the worst math ever for 70,000 people.
Yeah.
7,000 cases of beer. They ran out about second, third period, somewhere around there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, 7,000 cases for 70,000 people. That's not a lot.
Yeah.
What does that average
seem like? It doesn't.
No, it's terrible. Why wouldn't you just buy more? What's the worst thing that could happen? I mean, then you have them.
Our section didn't run out of beer because the guy's like, oh, I got some over here. So we ran out of beer midway through the third, and he started giving us cocktails, like vodka juice cocktails or something.
That would be about two beers per person who's there. They're lying. There's no way you run out of beer by doing that, because that would be about two beers per person.
If they ran out in the second, I mean, if people want to drink, I mean, you go up a couple times, you get two beers each time you go up there. I don't think that's enough beer. 70,000, go ahead.
It wasn't enough beer.
No. I mean, it wasn't.
I mean, the proof is there. They ran out.
Yeah,
And like food, too, from what I heard. They didn't even order enough food. Is that right?
Yeah, no food. Yeah, they ran out of food about the third, somewhere around there.
All right. Either way, despite all of that, that must have been a good time. It looked like on television it was actually a decent product.
It was awesome. Yeah. And they did play Chelsea Dagger whenever they scored.
Oh, what a pain in the ass. All right.
So you had like the greatest guy serving you in the stands of all time. He was bringing out mixed drinks and stuff.
Yeah, he was embarrassed. He's like, I can't believe we're running out of beer. He goes, but I got some cocktails, and they were just, they literally said cocktail on it. That was it.
Did you know it was inside?
No. It came back up. I don't know.
It came back up, so you can kind of look at it and see what went down.
Yeah, it was red. It was red.
Maybe that was blood.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right, see you, man.
All right, so, Rich, what else do we have coming up?
Man, there is some weird stuff going on with the Patriots and the coaching searches all around the NFL.
All right, here is John with the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it was great to hear Scott Zolak in a good mood once again.
Brady has Devlin to his left. The aforementioned door is set. One of three wides right. Brady takes the snap. He's going to lob it to the end zone right for Burkhead.
Yeah.
On the money. Touchdown, Patriots.
Tom Brady's best throw of the month of December right there to Rex Burkhead.
Yep, that was a good throw. And after the Patriots beat the bag out of the Jets for 60 minutes on Sunday, they earned their way to yet another first-round bye as the disaster that many thought was coming of having to play a wild-card weekend game was averted. Now, we wait to see whether it's going to be the Texans, Ravens, or Chargers that the Patriots will be playing next Sunday, the 13th in the divisional round. That is a 105 game.
Shaughnessy, by the way, is saying the Ravens are the only team that could cause them any problems. To which I would say the Ravens almost lost to Cleveland.
And to that I would say, have you watched the Chargers?
Yes.
Like, is he just saying that's because Philip Rivers chokes in the postseason?
I think he's saying that because it's his annual, it's a cakewalk thing. And
then when they lose, you can kind of come back and thrash them extra hard.
Didn't he write a couple of weeks ago that they were doomed to fail?
No, I think it was the opposite.
I thought that he said a couple of weeks ago, you know what, this is based on what I've seen, this is not the year. They're going to be struggling. And now we've gone from that to, you know, they're going to crush everybody except for... By the way, Alabama or Clemson could have destroyed the Jets that day. I think they were down seven starters on defense.
Yeah. Of course the Patriots beat the snot out of the Jets. They had no one there.
Yeah.
On either side of the football. I mean, I'm sitting there watching that game like, they should blow this team's doors off.
Let's put it this way. I watched the majority of the Jets games this year, and there was very few players I could name.
Yeah.
That were out there.
Despite Stephon Gilmore on Anderson, and that was the end of the Jets' offense. I do like Sam Darnold, though. I mean, he's going to be really good.
He's going to be good. I thought he played well in that game.
That's what I'm saying. Is just despite everything that happened around him, I thought Sam Darnold was okay. And as I said, his personality is perfect for New York.
Yeah. The bigger question is, do these last two wins the Patriots put up, does that change the mind of anyone of how they're going to do in the playoffs?
No one knows what this team is.
I know, but I think...
And anyone who says they do, they don't.
Reading the tea leaves here, it seems like a lot of people, after watching the Patriots dismantle these last two teams, now think, okay, we're back to where we should be, and I'm not convinced of that.
Well, here's why they say
McBride wrote an article saying how Brady's knee looked okay, into who provides the pass rush for the Jets? Like, who are you afraid of?
Brady against a very good pass defense suffered against Buffalo.
Yes.
Well, not play well.
Why it does change everything is they got the bye week, and that means so much.
It does.
So, and also that you don't know what these other teams are.
I understand, but just looking at it from the Patriots' point of view, you look at this team, and they still have all the problems they had last month.
Yeah.
Beating Buffalo and the Jets doesn't change that.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
Especially beating the Jets doesn't. They play like they were supposed to play. They are a far better team than the Jets and blew their doors off.
The Jets had a lame duck coach. They had to bench two starters, including one of the corners that they gave $1 billion to, idiots in free agency.
Right.
And the team obviously quit and was taking horrible penalties. And, yeah, that game doesn't count.
Well, it's exciting because when was the first time you went into a postseason, or what was the last time you went into a postseason where you truly had no idea what was going to happen? Like in the AFC, who knows what's going to happen?
All I know is the Patriots can pretty much beat anybody at home. They can't necessarily beat anyone on the road. They were atrocious on the road this year.
Well, let's get to some of that because for people who are into these sort of things, speaking of Tom Brady, he will officially earn $0 of his $5 million in performance bonuses that were built into his salary this year for failing to reach the top five in passing yards, pass yards per attempt, touchdowns, completion percentage, and rating. Another guy who didn't hit any of his bonuses was Rob Gronkowski. Here he is after Sunday's game being asked about his future.
You know, at this point last year, you were sort of thinking about retiring. I'm going to get your thoughts.
I haven't been thinking about that at all.
You're still enjoying it, Rob?
Yeah, definitely. Today, we had a good day today, too. I mean, a lot of guys, we were goofing off. But at the same time, we were getting our work done. So today was a good day.
All right, John. So to your point about how predictable this is, and two interesting stats that prove just how nobody knows how good or how bad they are. First off, none of the five teams that the Patriots beat this season made the playoffs. None of them. But not only that, Michael Hurley wrote a pretty good article that shows that after the Patriots lost to almost each of them, each team pretty much fell off a cliff. The Jaguars imploded. No one really had any high hopes for Detroit. The Titans lost several in a row, and then Mariota when they needed him the most. Miami lost three in a row after making T-shirts for the Miami Miracle and like a big sticker on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, of course, know what happened with the Steelers. We'll get to that in a minute. But one could argue that this means that the Patriots lost to bad teams. And one could say that that's very fair. But then there's this. The Patriots are the only team in the playoffs that are undefeated against other playoff teams. That's right. They're 4-0 against the Bears, Chiefs, Houston, and the Colts. No one else in the AFC has more than two wins against playoff teams.
When were all four of those games? Earlier in the season.
Chiefs was kind of mid-season.
Earlier to midpoint of the season. I'm watching what I've been watching over the last month. I'm not convinced this team's ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, so they beat good teams, but lose to bad teams. So nobody knows what they're going to do. But we do know that both Josh McDaniels and Brian Flores are going to be very busy this week.
By the way, you know, Captain McDaniels, the superstar, the young buck, Flores, as of now, has got about triple the interviews.
It's at least twice. So yeah. You got the Bengals and the Packers. They want Josh McDaniels.
Or they're talking to Josh.
Cleveland has apparently asked for permission, too, for McDaniels.
Oh, okay. So that's a new one. Okay, as of this morning?
I was reading Jason Lockin for this morning. Yes. I think Cincinnati and Cleveland have both asked for permission.
Well, Flores right now has at least the Dolphins, Broncos, Browns, and the Packers, too. So the Packers are trying to double dip. They want both interviews with both McDaniels and Flores, which I would kind of like to look at how the stats ended up panning out for this defense, because this is one of those things where just thinking about it and thinking about all the games, you're thinking, man, defense wasn't that good this year. But when you take a look at kind of how the end of the season, you know, things kind of like the last two games might have skewed the numbers a little bit. The secondary was excellent. And actually, you know what? The pass rush ended up being okay.
But Patriots, 21st overall on defense as far as yards gained.
See, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, and 7th in scoring defense.
Right. They have an excellent secondary, and their front seven is not good. But I just think it's funny that Flores is getting more attention than Josh McDaniels.
Well, you know what? Then that means to me that there are some smart teams out there, because I don't know how you could hire Josh McDaniels after what he did last season.
I can't imagine at all.
And he might be one of the best candidates out there as far as just skill set and as far as experience. But that's one of those things that is, it says everything about character. It's just unforgiving. And to bring someone in there like that and just trust that he is going to be all in on your team?
Well, yeah, this is the situation with him. Is A, he got a head coaching job when he was like 20 and was horrible. So you know that. Then you say, okay, well, he had a lot of success as offenses. And I would say, well, he's got Tom Brady. You know, he's got Tom Brady. I mean, for a while he had, there hasn't always been a collection of ragtag receivers.
But he has the love of Tom Brady. That's the positive. Like, I mean, Tom Brady can't say enough great things about Josh McDaniels.
Right, but there's a difference between working with Tom Brady and working with Baker Mayfield, and this is not insulting Baker Mayfield. This is, I mean, Tom Brady is, you could argue, one of the hardest working players in football.
Used to be.
Yeah, now, oh yeah, that's right. Now,
it's all different now. Right, as of last year.
He showed an incredible lack of maturity by turning down that Colts job, and I think he's afraid to be a head coach in the NFL.
It's interesting. I was reading an article on ESPN. Apparently, they interviewed 10, you know, ex-NFL executives and current NFL executives and say, which guys would be the top five candidates? And they had a point system, 1 through 5. McDaniels was second.
Yeah, McCarthy's behind, still number one.
Well, actually, no, Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma.
Oh, really? Mike McCarthy's not number one?
No, McCarthy was third or fourth.
Yeah, McCarthy, or no, the guy from Oklahoma is going back to Oklahoma.
Yeah, right. Well, Riley signed a contract extension with Oklahoma, but I got to believe there's an out if an NFL team comes calling.
No, there obviously is an out, but I don't know why he would have signed the extension.
McCarthy's going to go with the Jets.
Nope. There's a big question about that.
I know they're interviewing him.
They're interviewing him, but the thing is that I've read two things about him. One, he wouldn't be able to handle New York, and two, he had Favre, and then he had
Aaron Rodgers,
and they won one Super Bowl. So if you look at that, I mean, the guy's had two franchises. He's got two Hall of Fame.
How many years did he have Favre? Just like two, though, right?
Yeah, but then he had Aaron Rodgers, and you know they were only able to win one Super Bowl in what, 12 years? So McCarthy, a lot of people think, is a little overrated. In fact, I hope the Jets don't get McCarthy.
The trend, though, is definitely going to college instead of retread assistants and young assistants. The guy from Iowa State turned down the Jets, right? Oh, who turned down the Jets? Which guy turned the Jets down and wanted to stay in college?
This year?
Yeah, there was. I want to say the Jets wanted a guy from college. This happened just last week, and he said, I'm staying in school.
Okay, I've been on top of it. He denied the interview?
Yeah.
I didn't read about that.
Yeah.
And I've been reading a lot about it.
The Northwestern coach apparently was going to talk with Green Bay. I mean, there is a Cliff Kingsbury, right? Is he the Jets? Is he going to interview with the Jets? Kingsbury has an interview. He got fired at Texas Tech.
The Jets are interviewing McCarthy, the defensive coordinator who's 70 from Chicago.
Yes.
The Iowa State coach.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, homeboy that was Miami's coach.
Oh, Adam Gase?
Gase.
Campbell. Dan Campbell.
Yeah,
he's an assistant at New Orleans now, I believe.
Yeah, Dan Campbell and somebody else.
Oh, give him Dan Campbell. Let him run that place. Maybe they will rehire Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Just bring him back. Glory days.
And then you read about Dan Campbell, and all these people are praising him.
Everyone loves to praise Dan Campbell.
And you're like, what are you talking about?
Dude, he has him doing, like, you know, squats and what are they called? Burpees on the field?
Powerlifting Mondays.
Hell yeah.
they need a guy who can work with the quarterback. All right, so we'll return.
Stay tuned on Sports Hatcher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now you've got Antonio Brown not even wanting to be part of the team anymore, requesting a trade. Here's Jason Lockenfor with the latest.
They're doing exit interviews, guys packing their stuff up, and sources tell me Brown let the organization know that he'd prefer to play elsewhere next season. He does not want to be back. He wants to be traded. He has issues with Mike Tomlin, and he feels like Mike Tomlin too often sides with the quarterback. So it's really issues with both of those individuals that have led us to this point. I'm told he didn't demand a trade. It wasn't necessarily like, I'll never play for you guys again. But clearly, he wants out.
Okay, so apparently the Wednesday before their final game of the season, there was a shouting match between him and Ben Roethlisberger. And now there are conflicting reports as to what he actually said. What is that? He said, I want to be traded and left. And then was one of him just saying, I'm out. And then he took off. And then I believe he showed up on Thursday for a couple minutes and then completely missed the walkthrough, showed up on Sunday, wanting to play and then not being able to play. It was just an absolute disaster what's been going on with this guy. So Ben Roethlisberger was asked about the blow-up or supposed reported blow-up that happened at that Wednesday practice, and here's what he had to say.
People are making a big deal about a walkthrough on Wednesday, that there was a blow-up, a fight between he and I. I don't know anything about that. If there was a blow-up or something, I sure as heck didn't see it. This big deal was made about that, and I'm not really sure where that comes from. AB and I talked to AB on Thursday morning, because after the walkthrough, AB left on Wednesday, and then on Thursday morning, I talked to AB, and everything was great and fine, and then this story just keeps growing. So, like I said, I consider AB one of my closest friends on the team, so I'm not really sure why or where some of this blow-up is coming from.
Yeah, they're saying, according to several sources, Antonio Brown showed up at Heinz Field expecting to play against the Bengals after missing those practices. They said it surprised several players, including one who called the situation embarrassing and the worst I've seen. Now, there's no possible way they can get rid of Antonio Brown because the cap hit is absolutely seismic. It's like $22 million. Is that right, John?
Yeah, his cap hit for next season is $22.1 million. His cap hit for 2020 is $18.3 million. Dead cap money, $21 and $14 million if they cut him loose. They can't trade him.
No.
And there aren't many teams that can fit that under their cap to begin with. The Jets could, but honestly, it wouldn't be worth it to Pittsburgh to do that. Antonio Brown's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 next year. Still led the NFL in touchdown catches this year with 15.
Yeah, the Tomlin thing isn't even about the locker room to me. It's this his horrible in-game decisions, like going for
the fake punt.
Yeah, fake punts and going for it on their own 45.
Well, I mean, it's both. I mean, how can you not look at what's happening with Antonio Brown and how he treated this final week on a game that they had to win to make it in the playoffs? I mean, if there's any week that you need to be the most dialed in, it's this one, and Tomlin can't control this guy?
He never could. I think that's obvious.
And
he never could.
And, these star receivers are complete divas, and it's very difficult to control any of them. Look at Odell Beckham Jr.
He's made the conference championship game once since 2010. Tomlin.
With all of that talent that has gone through there.
Well, he's not always had the greatest defense, but he has apparently the best offensive line in football. They had a rookie running back that was fine, and they have two great receivers and a guy that could win a Super Bowl at quarterback.
Yeah, they had two receivers in the top 11 in receiving yards this year.
How many times do we hear that they were the most talented team, the most talented offense in the AFC this year? Like, before the season started.
Remember the big rallying cry? Remember the big rallying cry by the offense? We don't need Le'Veon Bell. We made him all his money, all that stuff. James Conner was good. Still didn't matter. None of it mattered.
Conner was hurt at the end, but yes, I agree. I thought that Tomlin should be fired, but that's not what the Patriots do.
The Hines family is not into finding new coaches.
All right, that's what the Steelers do. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.